Hey, this morning, I hope you got a chance. You noticed the wreath that we have here. Cindy went into our Christmas decorations and decided to decorate our set today. And so I'm going to set sort of off to the side because I think you ought to enjoy the beauty of that wreath. And after all, I have a face for radio anyway. So I was so, I've been preaching now for 33 years. In the month of December. That means that I, as a pastor, I have 33 years I have spent trying to find creative ways to express and talk about the Christmas story, the story of Jesus's birth. And at times I find that a little bit challenging because it's such a well-known story and it's one that we've heard from maybe even when we were little kids. And even if you aren't churched, maybe you grew up hearing the Christmas story about Jesus in your life. And so to find a way to create to creatively discuss that or tell about that or to proclaim that is a challenge sometimes. And so this year, something I've been wanting to do for a long time, I thought we would take some of our favorite Christmas carols and use them as a platform for us to talk about the Christmas story. And so today we're going to be talking about the hymn that you sung with the ladies a few minutes ago, "O Holy Night." And this, for a lot of people, is some of their it's one of their favorite songs. And it actually was written in the mid-1800s. And what's interesting is there was a parish priest who asked a French merchant and a poet in his community to write a poem for worship based on Luke chapter 2. And so the interesting thing is this poet was not only was he not a Christian, but he was also known as a troublemaker, a rebel rouser in his community. He was very far from God and he didn't go to church at all, but he was a great poet. So he wrote this poem and he loved it so much that he asked a friend of his who also was not a Christian to put the poem to music. And this song became so popular that it just started. People in Catholic churches all over the place began to sing it. It was played at all kinds of churches until a few years, after it had been written, people started asking about who had written it and who wrote the music. And when they found out that these two guys were not Christians, were not followers of Jesus, they said, "You got to shut this down. I mean, this song was written by two heathens. I mean, we can't be singing this song in church." But by then it was way too late, and the song was massively popular, and I think God used it in a lot of ways through the years to speak to people. Another interesting fact about this carol is that about 50 years later, in 1906, there was a 33-year-old Canadian professor named Reginald who did what many people thought was impossible. He made a makeshift generator in his garage. He plugged a microphone into it, and he broadcast the very first AM broadcast in the history of the world. And he did it on Christmas Eve in 1906. And what he did was, when he went on that first AM broadcast to be, sent out everywhere, he read Luke 2 into the microphone, and he read the Christmas story. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire world, and he read the whole Christmas story from Luke chapter 2. It was the first AM broadcast ever. And then he took his violin and he played into the microphone the very first song sent out across the airwaves in the history of the world. And guess what it was? Yep, "O Holy Night. The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, night divine, the night when Christ was born." I love the manger scene. It's one of my favorite parts of how we decorate our homes. We have one at our house that Lou puts out, and maybe you have one at yours too, each Christmas. But I have to admit that I think that our clean, tidy little manger scenes don't do justice to what it must have been like that first night that Jesus was born. I mean, the manger that Jesus was born into was not nearly as clean as the one in your house or under your tree. I think it probably smelled of the kind of things that animals do in a manger, and I doubt that the one in your house smells that way. The conditions of giving birth in a place like that had to be challenging. It probably was not very sanitary or as inviting as the manger in your home. And then you think about Mary and Joseph. Here is a woman who has been pregnant, who's pregnant for 9 months now, is about to give delivery anytime, and she has just ridden a donkey somewhere between 80 and 120 miles in that condition. I can't imagine how tired she was. I know the shepherds who came to visit the night of his birth were probably a lot more dirty and rougher than the ones that you set on your display at home. Everyone was going to their home city, you know, to be counted for the census. And so even a little town like Bethlehem was full. And when I say full, I mean full. And that's how Mary and Joseph ended up in a manger instead of somewhere nicer to have their baby. There was so much chaos in the community. If you've ever gone to, you know, a city and or you live in a city and they have a convention, you know, the restaurants get busy, the hotels get busy. There's just a lot of hustle and bustle and a lot going on. And the thing is, I think that's what Bethlehem was like when Jesus was born. And so it's very wonderful to see our clean, fresh-smelling, manger scenes with a very, you know, well-rested Mary and shepherds who, you know, just look like they just came pressed in their best shepherd costumes, clean as can be, and all of that other stuff. But I think the reality is that on the night that Jesus was born, I do think there was a weariness in their world. That line, a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. And if there are two words that accurately describe Mary and Joseph's word, two words that I think accurately describe our world, it would be those two words, weary world. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, it's just overwhelming today. There's so much anxiety with what's going on with COVID, the elections, the economy. Relationships are messed up. A lot of people, a lot of families are struggling. A lot of families decided to not get together this Thanksgiving season, and so that's difficult and hard. And I just think so many people today, I think a lot of us relate to that phrase, the weary world. But what I love about this song is that it says the weary world rejoices. There's a thrill of hope. With all the chaos of this holy night, with all the weariness around them, there's a thrill of hope that maybe, just maybe, God was doing something that people had been hoping for years. The Messiah was going to be born. You know, I told you in our opening today when we lit the Advent candle, people have been looking for this for a long time. They've been anticipating it. And here the day was. And on that day, everything in their hearts and in their minds of what they were, what they were anticipating, everything would be different. And you can hear that kind of faith, that there's a thrill of hope. And suddenly the weary world does what? The weary world rejoices. Man, we need something to rejoice about. I don't know about you, but we need it in my family. We need a new and glorious morning. I think this year of all years, even though we may not be able to be with relatives and friends like we want, we may not be able to decorate the church and celebrate in God's house this first Sunday in Advent, I still believe that celebrating Christmas can help us in our weary world. It can help us to rejoice. And so I just want to ask you this morning, do you find yourself weary, tired, exhausted, fatigued, fed up, worn down, spent? How can we get the thrill of hope back that this song talks about? How can we become people who rejoice in a new and glorious morn? Well, I want to take you back to an Old Testament book today, the book of Lamentations, because there's when I think about a new and glorious morn, it brings a passage of scripture from there to my mind. You know, the context of Lamentations is that in the year 586 BC, Jerusalem has fallen and people were as distraught as you could possibly imagine. And the prophet Jeremiah, he was lamenting, he's mourning, he was hurting along with all of God's people. And he starts Lamentations by just pouring out his heart full of hurt. Listen, this is Lamentations 1:4. The roads of Zion are in mourning because no one comes to the appointed feast. All her gates are desolate. Her priests are groaning, her virgins are afflicted, and she herself is bitter. And then listen to Lamentations 3:5-6. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He has made me dwell in darkness like those long dead. Boy, does that resonate with you? You know, I think about when he talks about the streets are desolate, and I think about our world right now that's partially, shut down. A lot of things are canceled and not going on, and celebrations not like we would want. That's us. To think that we sometimes feel besieged and surrounded with bitterness and hardship all around us with darkness. But later in chapter 3, we see a switch. We see Jeremiah move from his mourning to a moment of faith. And I love what he says in verses 19 and 20. Listen to this. I remember my affliction and my wondering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. In other words, he's not going to just, put his hands over his eyes and say, no, this isn't happening. No. He's acknowledging that there's something significant and life-altering in his difficulties. But he goes on to verse 21. This is what I love. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. I'm going to call this to mind. I'm going to bring this thought, this idea from the back of my mind and put it at the front of my mind. Instead of being the last thing I think about, it's going to be the first thing I think about. And because I remember this truth, I will have hope when no one else does, because I know this to be true. I call to this to mind, and because of this, I have hope. Verse 22, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Man, isn't that awesome? Doesn't that just kind of, if you're discouraged this morning, doesn't that just kind of wash over you? Because of this hope, I am not consumed, I'm not depleted, I'm not expended, I'm not wiped out. Because of the Lord's great love, his compassions never fail, his mercies are new every morning. Well, what does that mean for me, Pastor? Well, why is it so important to call that to mind? What mercies, what compassions are new every morning? Well, I want to show you. I want to show you three truths that can restore the thrill of hope when your weary world is in darkness, all right? First of all, every morning with Christ brings exactly what I need. Every morning with Christ brings exactly what I need. Now, I didn't say what you want, right? Because what you need and what you want are sometimes different things. And Jeremiah says, I say to myself, how many of you know that every now and then, every once in a while, you just got to preach a truth to you? You just got to speak a truth into your heart, into your mind, into your life. You recall God's word in your mind. You say to yourself, and you remind yourself of the truth of God. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. What does it mean? Well, when he talks about that portion, some scholars believe that he's likely referring back to the time when the Israelites were wandering in the desert and God would provide for them their daily portion of heavenly manna. That every day when they would wake, God would give them exactly enough food for that day. If they ever tried to hoard the food and hold some over for the next day, do you remember? If you know the story, you remember what would happen? The food would go bad, right? It would rot. And God was trying to teach them that every day they had to depend on him, that every day they had to depend on him for their sustenance, that every day they had to depend on him to come through. Now, in the New Testament, when Jesus taught us to pray, we see some reflection of this, because what did Jesus, when he taught us to pray, he said, give me what? My daily bread. Give me bread every day, because I need God every single day. And so this is what Jeremiah is saying to us, that he has exactly what I need for today. And that's the good news. I want you to really understand that God already today has your today, and he's going to have your tomorrow. He has everything you need for today and tomorrow, whatever it brings. He is absolutely there. So that means that if your marriage is struggling, what I hope you'll understand is God is waiting for you in the morning, and he has what your marriage needs for today. If you're weak today, God has you, and his strength is made perfect in your weakness. Every morning, every day, he has you. If you're down and depressed today, he has you, and his joy should be new every morning for you. He's the lifter of your head today. Every morning with Christ, his portion always brings exactly what I need for today. What you need is the presence of God, his strength, his power, his goodness, his joy. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. Have you said that today? God's got me. The morning, even before you stepped out of bed this morning, God had whatever you needed for today available to you. Have you asked him for it? Have you said, God, give me my portion for today because I can't make it without you? Or is your head too worried about tomorrow? Jesus said, what did he say in the Sermon on the Mount? Let tomorrow worry about itself. Just let the world, but today I have the mercies. I have what you need today. God says, I've got you. I've got you. He's all you need for the day. It's all going to be okay. I'm waiting on him, for he is my portion. Secondly, a new morning with Christ brings us the hope to keep going. It's the thrill of hope in the weary world, right? It's the thrill of hope and faith when all we see is darkness. It's the belief that there's a new morning coming in the middle of the chaos, in the middle of the night. Lamentations 3:25 says, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. Someone said that, you know, people can live 40 days or so without food. We can live like 8 days or so without water. We can live 4 minutes or so without oxygen, but we can only live a few seconds without hope. I think it's true today. I believe there are too many people today who are trying to survive with a very hope-deprived life. They're struggling to find places to put their hope. In fact, they're putting their hope in the wrong places. You know, the stock market, that's a risky place to put your hope. Put your hope in your company, and you know you may get let down because one day you may get let go, downsized. Put your hope in another person, and I guarantee you, some people will not come through for you. We all fail each other from time to time. Put your hope in some outcome that you just say, if this doesn't happen, then the world's going to fall apart. Some people said that with the election, and it's not. You may not get exactly what you thought should happen. The reason is because we're putting our hope in the wrong places. And when we put our hope in the wrong places, we start to end up hopeless, and we become weary in a world that wonders where there is anything good. Have you had a thought like that in these last several months? Have you put your hope? I mean, it's great that vaccines are coming and all of that other stuff, and that's tremendous, and you know, we're thankful for all of that coming. But our hope as followers of Jesus, not only is in, you know, our hope is in him. Hebrews 10:23 says this, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. I love that word, unswervingly. It's like, don't let go. Hold on to that hope no matter what happens, no matter if you're tossed about. Grab hold. For those of us who are Christians, grab hold of the hope that lives in you. And don't ever let go, because he is faithful. And if you're not a follower of Jesus, he invites you to grab hold of him so that you can have hope in this life. You know, too many of us, I think, in these times are letting go of the hope that we profess. And we're grabbing on to all kinds of things, fear, anxiety of the darkness, you know, right now. We're letting go of the truth of God. We're hanging on to all the lies of the evil one. And what we need to do is the exact opposite. Let go of the fear. Let go of the anxiety. Let go of the stress. Let go of the panic. Let go of the doubt, and hold unswervingly to the hope that we possess. Hang on and don't let go. Hang on to the promises of God. Don't ever lose hope of what a new day in Christ can bring. Don't ever lose hope that His mercies are new, because He is faithful, Jeremiah tells us. He is faithful, and you can count on it. I'm going to stay here for 1 second, because see, there's somebody who needs to hear this. There's somebody who's about ready to let go of hope. And I want to tell you, don't let go. Don't give up. Don't surrender. Don't cash it in. I understand it may be dark for a while, but Advent, it reminds us that there is a new day coming. And it's amazing what a new day in Christ can bring. Don't give up the hope. There's a weary world, yes, but in the weariness, there's a thrill of hope, and the weary world can find a place to rejoice. A new day with Christ can change everything. And when you see the sunrise, God's got everything you need. There's a new and glorious morning that brings exactly what you need. It brings the hope to keep going. Here's the third thing I want to tell you and share with you. A new morning with Christ brings the help that you're seeking. Lamentations 3:26 says, "It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." You know those words there, when he talks about wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord, there's a sense of he means to wait with peace, with calmness, with confidence that God is going to come through. And there's some of you today, you know, you may be a Christian, you may be, you know, saved, but you're in a difficult situation. And I want you to know that one more day can make a difference. One more day, one more day, one more day of His mercies, one more day of waiting on God confidently can make all the difference in your lives. Because I'm telling you, you see the stories in the Bible, for instance, in the New Testament, do you know of Lazarus, right? He died and Jesus loved him, and he had been dead for 4 days by the time Jesus got there. He was so dead that he was smelling bad. And the King James Version said it best. It said, "He stinketh." You know you're dead when you stinketh, okay? And so for 4 days, everyone giving up hope, but Jesus shows up. He has them roll the stone away, and he calls out into that grave, and he says, "Lazarus, get up, buddy. Come on out." And Lazarus walks out, and I'm here to tell you, Lazarus would say it's amazing the difference that one day with Christ can make. And so today, maybe your attitude stinketh. Maybe your emotions stinketh today. I want you to know, God's mercies are new every day, and He is faithful, and we need to wait. We need to be settled. We need to let His peace fill us and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord, because He's coming. It's coming. There was a woman who for 12 years was suffering with an issue of blood. For 12 years, you can't imagine the pain, right? The embarrassment, the humiliation, the torture, the private suffering of her soul for 12 years. And every day, hoping this is going to be the day, maybe this will be the day that I'm healed. And then I'm sure there were days she got up and thought, "Man, I'm stuck. I'm just going to have to learn to live with this." And so for 12 years in agony, but here's one day that Jesus is coming. She's heard about Jesus, and so she thinks, "Man, I'm going to go to Jesus, and He can make me well." And she goes, and he's surrounded by people, but she fights through the crowd and just reaches and touches the hem of His garment. She thought, "If I could just touch the hem of His garment, He'll heal me." And sure enough, she touched the hem of His garment, and she was healed. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm sure she's glad she didn't give up. She would tell you, she would tell you that one more day with Christ makes all the difference. And maybe you've got a health issue you've been dealing with for a long time. You've been struggling with. I want you to know today. I want you to know one more day, quietly, peacefully, waiting on the salvation of the Lord. One man for 38 years, he hadn't walked forever in his life. He was born unable to walk. And he's near this pool where people would go for healing. It was supposed to be when the water stirred, first one in would get healed. And so he decided to go there that day, and Jesus came by and he looked at him and he said, "Pick up your mat and walk." And after 38 years of being unable to walk, this man gets up and walks. And he would tell you that one day makes all the difference. He would tell you that, "I'm so glad I got up that day and went to the pool. I'm so glad that I went there. I'm so glad that I hung on, that I continued to believe that I could be healed one more day, because one more day with Christ can make all the difference. His mercies are new every morning." Listen. Some of you got to hear this. You're in a weary world right now. And I'm telling you, there's a thrill of hope that will make your weary world rejoice. There is a new and glorious morning that is coming. You may look at your marriage and think it can never be what it should be. I'm telling you, you don't know the difference one day can make. There are some of you, your body is sick, or someone you love is sick, and I'm telling you that one more day God can bring healing to your life. Hang in there. And you know, even if he doesn't heal the way that we think that we should, you know, that he should, in the presence of God and his goodness, it's amazing the difference that one day in Christ can make. Some of us are sick of COVID and weary of masks and social distancing and all the junk going on in our world. We're tired of living isolated from others, but I'm telling you, a day is coming. The day of, it makes such a difference to wait one more day for Christ. Some of you are struggling to make ends meet. Your jobs have flamed out and you're so weary and you're so tired. One more day. Hang in there with him one more day, because God's got strength for you today to get through today. And then when you get up tomorrow, he'll have new strength for you tomorrow, for you to get up and make ends meet. He'll do miraculous things in your life. Some of you right now, you're in the night, and all of a sudden in the middle of this weary world and all of the darkness, I want you to be reminded that because Jesus was born, you can have hope in the middle of the night. Because a new day with Christ, I'm telling you, it brings exactly what you need. It may not be what you want, but it's always exactly what you need for today. And he will give you what you need for tomorrow. A new day with Christ, it gives us hope to keep going. A new day with Christ can bring you the help that you're seeking. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And the writer of Hebrews said, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful." The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. The darkness is nearly over because the sun will rise again. The darkness is nearly over because the Son of God will rise again. And you are nearer to your salvation than you were a day before. Matter of fact, in the book of Romans, chapter 13, the writer says, "The hour has come for you to wake from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here." That's what Zechariah heard from the angel. It's almost here. It's almost time. Don't give up hope. The day is almost, the night is almost over, Zechariah. God has you. Don't be afraid. His mercies are new every morning. Hold unswervingly to the hope that you profess, because God is faithful. For all of us, the Son of God has risen. And because he was born into this weary world, there is a thrill of hope. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Will you bow your heads and let me pray with you this morning? God, we thank you for your word that speaks straight into our lives today, straight into our context this morning. God, I recognize this morning that it's proper sometimes for us to lament, to mourn, just like Jeremiah was doing. And for some of us, we have reason that during this season, we are mourning. Some of us have spent this holiday alone. Others of us, it's the first holiday season since someone passed away. This pandemic that we're experiencing, we felt the impact of the distance, the loss of connection. And like Jeremiah, there are some of us, God, this morning who are groaning. We feel surrounded by bitterness and hardship. But God, today, you have reminded us that not all hope is lost. This first Sunday of Advent, our hope is not in our circumstances, but in you. Our hope is in what you did 2,000 years ago when you sent Jesus Christ into this world to not only experience all that we experience, so that we know we have a God who's very empathetic towards us, but his goal was to pay the price on Calvary for our salvation so that we could be forgiven. And as you're praying this morning, there may be somebody who's listening who you've never given your heart and life to Christ. You're not a follower of Jesus. And I just want to invite you right now, if God's been tugging at your heart, if in your heart you felt a twinge, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you today, asking you to start following him, to just surrender your life, to let what Jesus did on the cross count for you, to forgive your sins, and then to put his spirit inside you, to empower you, to lead you, to guide you, to steer you in these days, to know that you are never alone, and that no matter what you're going through right now, God's got it. Father, I pray for the forgiveness of sins for every person who asks you to forgive them today, and to let what Jesus did count for their lives. Redeem them and renew them, and let them know that they are your children. There are others of us this morning, Father, as we pray, we're followers of Jesus, but the darkness has pressed in on us. So I pray today for all believers that you would bring to the front of our mind your great love for us. And that in your love, we are not consumed. In your compassions never fail. Your mercy is new every morning. And you, oh God, great is your faithfulness to us. Help us to wait for you, for you are our portion. To wait for your goodness, to wait quietly and peacefully with a steadfast heart for you to rescue us. Cast out all doubt, cast out all fear from us today, Father. Cast out all anger, cast out everything that the enemy sends in our way to make us wonder, to make us doubt you. And help us be at rest. Help us to rest and to quietly wait on you for our salvation. Because Christmas reminds us that you are coming again. Christmas reminds us that into our dark world right now, you're working and moving in ways that we haven't seen. And we just, if I could just wait one more day, because in the morning, the mercies of God are new. They're new every morning. And you have what I need for this day. So God, I pray, help me. I leave tomorrow to tomorrow. But today I want to live in your mercies, in your compassions. You have everything that I need. Maybe not everything I want, but everything I need today. So I trust in you. That's our confidence, and that's our prayer. Oh God, I pray today, may your love make us strong in this season. May we wake up each day with an awareness that your mercies are new. You are my portion. I wait for you. You are good to me. I seek you each and every day. I wait quietly, steadfastly, confidently for your salvation. For great is your faithfulness. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, thanks for watching the whole thing today and sticking with us to the end. Hey, listen, if you made a commitment to Christ today, I would love for you to send me an email, send me a message through whatever venue. You can leave a comment on whatever venue that you're watching this on, whether that be, you know, YouTube, Facebook, or Vimeo, just private message me on Facebook if you would like. I'd really love to know what God's doing in your life. And if you're a Christian, maybe there's something today that God spoke to you about, I'd love to hear about that. That's one of the things that being remote like this and online only, I don't get to hear too much about what God's doing with the message, even out in the foyer. And so if you need something, maybe your stuff's really big and you need help to pray, let me know. I'll be praying for you if you let us know. Our staff will. We have prayer warriors, a prayer team that we send request out to. And so I just hope that this will be a great and awesome Lord's Day. If this message encouraged you, share this link on your social media or email the link to someone who needs help today. This is just the beginning of our series. I'm going to leave you in suspense as to what next week's hymn is. So anyway, I hope you'll join us again as we continue to talk about the songs of Christmas. God bless you and keep you.